One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks.
They say every great theater has a story to tell, but at the Orpheum Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, the stories don't end when the curtain falls. Built in the late 1920s, this masterpiece has stood as a proud jewel of downtown Phoenix for nearly a century. Its walls have witnessed vaudeville acts, silent films, lavish musicals, and decades of applause. But if you believe the rumors whispered through the corridors, the Orpheum hasn't only hosted performers and patrons. It's been entertaining something else. Long after the audience has gone home and the lights have dimmed, the Orpheum's ghostly guest list seems to come alive. Footsteps echo from empty balconies, disembodied voices call out from nowhere, and lights flicker without explanation. But no spirit is more famous or more mysterious than the one known simply as Maddie. A young girl seen drifting along the upper balconies in outdated clothing, Maddie has become the theater's most enduring mystery. Who was she? Why does she remain? And why does her laughter still echo through the seats long after the applause has faded? Tonight, we're pulling back the curtain on the Orpheum Theater, exploring its rich history, its haunted reputation, and the countless reports that have left even skeptics questioning what really happens after hours. So settle in, keep an eye on those balconies, and remember, at the Orpheum, the show is never truly over. I'm Tony Bruschi. Let's dig in. The Orpheum Theater was born in an era of bold dreams and even bolder architecture. The year was 1929, and Phoenix, Arizona, was a city on the rise, a desert metropolis with big ambitions and the kind of wide-open future only a city in the West could claim. It was a time when vaudeville reigned supreme, and every major city wanted a venue grand enough to host the country's top touring acts. Phoenix got its wish when a group of ambitious businessmen decided to build something truly spectacular, the Orpheum Theater. Nestled right in the heart of downtown, the Orpheum stood apart from the very beginning. Its design leaned heavily into the Spanish Revival style, a visual feast of ornate plasterwork, dramatic archways, and hand-painted murals that transported visitors from the Arizona desert straight into the courtyards of Old World Spain. The interior was designed to be immersive, with faux sky ceilings that gave the illusion of an open-air theater under the stars. It was the kind of glamour and escapism that Depression-era America craved. The Orpheum officially opened its doors on January 5, 1929, with a level of fanfare usually reserved for Hollywood premieres. The first audiences were dazzled by a mix of live performances and film screenings, and for years the theater thrived, hosting everything from traveling vaudeville troupes to major motion pictures. But like so many grand theaters across the country, the Orpheum's golden age was short-lived. By the 1940s, vaudeville was fading fast. The advent of sound films and the growing popularity of dedicated movie palaces meant that multi-purpose venues like the Orpheum had to adapt or die. The theater transitioned into a full-time movie house, screening everything from wartime newsreels to westerns and romantic dramas. By the time the 1960s rolled around, the building was aging, the crowds were thinner, and the once grand dame of downtown was starting to show her cracks. The decline accelerated into the 1970s. Downtown Phoenix itself was struggling. Businesses shuttered, foot traffic dwindled, and the Orpheum, like so many of its vaudeville-era peers, found itself teetering on the edge of demolition. If not for a last-minute save by the city of Phoenix, the theater's story might have ended there. In 1984, the city purchased the building and launched a massive, multi-year restoration project aimed at returning the Orpheum to its former glory. But it was during these renovations that the first whispers of something unusual began to emerge. The story started with the workers, the ones tasked with peeling back decades of grime, neglect, and poorly executed remodels. More than a few reported the unsettling sensation of being watched even when they knew the building was empty. Tools went missing, sometimes for hours, sometimes for days, only to turn up in completely unrelated parts of the building. Electrical systems would suddenly flicker to life even when completely disconnected. Some workers refused to work alone at night, convinced that something or someone was wandering the hallways with them. But first, these reports were brushed off as nerves or overactive imaginations. After all, renovation work in a historic building can be creepy at the best of times. Drafts whistle through old ducts, floors creak in ways that defy logic, and any building that old is bound to have its share of unexplained noises. But the reports kept piling up. Workers heard footsteps pacing across the balcony when no one was upstairs. Shadowy figures were glimpsed out of the corner of the eye, always vanishing before anyone could get a clear look. It wasn't long before the staff, those hired to oversee the theater's return to glory, began having their own experiences. Projectionists, working alone in the booth, described seeing figures moving across the upper balcony. But no one was there. Ushers preparing for tours found locked doors mysteriously standing wide open. Even longtime city employees, people who prided themselves on being down-to-earth, no-nonsense types, admitted to feeling distinctly uneasy in certain parts of the building. As the renovation progressed into the 1990s, the stories evolved from vague sensations to something more concrete. By this time, ghost hunters and paranormal enthusiasts had caught wind of the Orpheum's growing reputation, and some of the first unofficial investigations began. It was during one of these early sessions that a name was allegedly captured on an EVP recording, a faint, crackling voice that seemed to say, "Maddie." It's important to pause here and clarify something. No historical records directly tie the name Maddie to the Orpheum Theater. No tragic accident, no unsolved mystery, no documented death of a child performer named Maddie appears in the archives, and yet, from the moment that name was captured, it stuck. Employees started referring to the ghostly girl as Maddie. Tour guides mentioned her name to guests. Paranormal investigators returned, trying to coax her into speaking again. And gradually, Maddie became the Orpheum's most famous resident ghost. Descriptions of Maddie varied slightly from person to person, but the core details remained consistent. She appeared as a young girl, perhaps 10 to 12 years old, dressed in clothing that looked like it belonged to the 1920s and early 30s. She was most often seen on the upper balconies, watching quietly before fading into the darkness. Some reported hearing soft giggles, others caught glimpses of her reflected in mirrors or glass, only for the balcony itself to be completely empty when they turned to look. Naturally, skeptics had their own theories. Many pointed out that the Orpheum's elaborate interior, filled with intricate plaster details, murals, and unusual lighting, could easily create optical illusions, especially in low light. Human brains are wired to recognize faces and forms in random patterns, a phenomenon known as pareidolia. Combine that with the acoustic oddities caused by the theater's unique design, where a whisper in one part of the room can carry clearly to the other side, and you have a perfect storm for spooky misinterpretations. Others suggested that the Orpheum's turbulent history, its dramatic rise, fall, and near demolition, had created a psychological atmosphere primed for ghost stories. It's a well-documented fact that historic buildings undergoing renovation often spark reports of paranormal activity. There's something about disturbing the past, peeling back layers of history, that seems to stir up the imagination. In that context, Maddie might be less a ghost and more a manifestation of the Orpheum's collective memory, a story born from nostalgia, longing, and a desire to make sense of the strange things people kept experiencing. Whatever the explanation, the stories of Maddie and the Orpheum's ghostly happenings became part of the theater's new identity. By the time the grand reopening took place in 1997, the Orpheum was not just a beautifully restored cultural landmark, it was a bona fide haunted hotspot. Paranormal-themed tours were added to the theater's calendar. Ghost hunters, amateur and professional alike, booked overnight investigations. And as the 21st century rolled in, the Orpheum's spectral reputation only continued to grow. Of course, it wasn't just Maddie. Staff reported other odd occurrences, unexplained cold spots, the unmistakable sound of typewriter keys clicking when no typewriter was present, and lights that seemed to develop minds of their own. Some suspected the presence of former employees, perhaps an old projectionist or stagehand, who had never fully left their post. Others wondered if the Orpheum had become a magnet for wayward spirits from the surrounding downtown area, an energetic anchor point for the ghosts of Phoenix's past. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, one thing is certain. The Orpheum Theater is a building with a memory. Its walls have soaked in nearly a century of performances, applause, and human energy. And for those who have worked there, performed there, or spent a quiet moment alone in the empty auditorium, that energy still feels present, waiting, watching, perhaps even applauding from a balcony that never truly empties. If the Orpheum Theater's history laid the groundwork for ghost stories, its modern era has more than delivered on the legend. Once the theater reopened in 1997, word of its paranormal reputation spread quickly, drawing attention from local ghost hunters, national paranormal teams, and curious visitors hoping to catch a glimpse of something or someone from beyond the veil. The name Maddie had already become a permanent part of the theater's lore, and the balcony where she was most often spotted became a focal point for investigations. Visitors began reporting startlingly similar encounters, seeing a young girl peering over the railing, her face just barely illuminated by the dim house lights, before she would simply vanish. But what made these reports so compelling was how often they came from people with no prior knowledge of Maddie's story. Tourists, unaware of the legend, would ask docents, "Who's the little girl up there?" only to learn that no children were present. Audio recordings from multiple investigations captured what sounded like giggles, whispered phrases, and in one chilling instance, a voice saying, "I'm here." Thermal cameras picked up cold spots in the exact location where Maddie was most often seen, sometimes even capturing a faint child-sized figure seated in one of the balcony chairs. But Maddie wasn't the only spirit said to wander the Orpheum. Stagehands working late into the night have told stories of phantom footsteps pacing back and forth across the stage, audible even over the hum of equipment. More than once, performers rehearsing alone on the vast, empty stage have seen the faint outline of a man standing in the wings, watching, waiting, only for him to disappear the moment they stepped closer. One performer, a local actress who spent weeks preparing for a production at the Orpheum, described an experience so unsettling she nearly left the show. During an early morning rehearsal, she heard what sounded like an old-fashioned typewriter clattering away from the projection booth. She assumed a crew member was typing up notes until she remembered that no typewriter existed in the building anymore. When she called up to the booth, there was no answer. When she climbed the stairs to check herself, the room was empty. Lighting technicians reported similar phenomena, lights refusing to respond to controls, dimmers flickering wildly despite no electrical issues being detected. In several cases, specific spotlights would swing toward the balcony as if drawn by unseen hands, landing on the exact spot where Maddie was said to appear. By the early 2000s, these incidents had attracted not only local paranormal groups, but also national teams who wanted to investigate the Orpheum firsthand. Arizona Paranormal Investigations, APEI, led several overnight sessions at the theater, bringing in high-tech equipment, including infrared cameras, motion sensors, EVP recorders, and electromagnetic field EMF detectors. What they documented was, according to their reports, some of the most compelling evidence they'd ever collected. EVP sessions yielded several distinct responses, many of them childlike in tone. One particularly eerie exchange came after an investigator asked, "Are you playing up here, Maddie?" The response, faint but unmistakable, was, "Do you want to play too?" EMF readings spiked wildly around the balcony and projection booth, with investigators noting that the spikes seemed to respond to direct questions, fluctuating dramatically when asked if Maddie was present. Cameras picked up odd light anomalies described by investigators as dancing orbs, though skeptics dismissed these as dust particles catching the light. But even the skeptics had a hard time explaining some of the physical phenomena. During one investigation, a team member's flashlight was knocked from their hand by an unseen force landing several feet away. On another occasion, a heavy theater door, fully propped open, slammed shut with enough force to shake the nearby walls, despite the complete absence of any breeze or draft in the sealed building. The Orpheum staff continued to accumulate their own experiences. A longtime stage manager, who had worked at the theater since the early days of its restoration, spoke candidly about what he came to call the closing shift curse. On multiple occasions, after clearing the building and locking the doors, he would hear the unmistakable sound of footsteps trailing behind him, echoing through the hallways, even though he was the only person left inside. More than once, he walked the entire building with security, only to find it completely empty. Eventually, he stopped walking the building alone. Not all experiences were sinister, however. Several employees described moments of unexpected warmth, phantom hands brushing their shoulders in a comforting way, or the gentle sensation of a child's hand slipping into theirs. One usher recounted feeling a small tug on her skirt during a performance, turning to find nothing there, except perhaps Maddie herself. As the years went on, the Orpheum's reputation expanded beyond ghost hunters and local legend. National paranormal television shows began featuring the theater, each one capturing new bits of evidence to add to the growing file. Some teams speculated that Maddie's presence was a classic example of a residual haunting, a replay of past energy, like a spiritual tape stuck on loop. Others believed she was an intelligent haunt, actively responding to investigators and maintaining awareness of her surroundings. But not all theories focused on Maddie. Some investigators suspected the Orpheum might be a paranormal hotspot, a location whose unique history, architecture, and energy made it a magnet for spirits. Given the theater's proximity to other historic and allegedly haunted buildings in downtown Phoenix, such as the Hotel San Carlos, it's possible the entire area functions like a spiritual crossroads, where ghosts from different eras cross paths. There were also darker theories. Some paranormal researchers pointed to the Orpheum's turbulent timeline, its decline, abandonment, and near demolition, as a potential trigger for restless spirits. In paranormal lore, such periods of upheaval are thought to awaken latent energies, especially in buildings tied to strong emotional events. Could the Orpheum's ghosts have been dormant until the restoration work began, stirring them from whatever slumber they had settled into? Yet even with all these investigations, theories, and experiences, one crucial question remained unanswered. Who was Maddie? Historical research into the Orpheum's early years turned up no records of a child performer named Maddie, nor any documented tragedy involving a young girl. Some theorists believe Maddie may have been connected to a neighboring building, drawn to the Orpheum after its reopening. Others wonder if she's a composite ghost, a spirit created not by history, but by the collective belief of the thousands of people who have heard her story over the years. And still, the sightings continue. As recently as 2023, visitors have reported seeing a young girl watching from the balcony, her hands gripping the railing, her wide eyes filled with curiosity, or perhaps a quiet plea not to be forgotten. Footsteps still echo through the empty auditorium long after closing time, and the typewriter still clicks away from a booth that hasn't housed one for decades. In the end, Whether you believe in ghosts or not, the Orpheum Theater remains a place where the past refuses to stay buried. Its walls hum with memory, its stage flickers with shadows, and its balcony, always its balcony, waits for the next unsuspecting guest to look up, lock eyes with Maddie, and wonder if, maybe, just maybe, they've become part of the story too. Every old theater has a story to tell. Some stories are about the actors who graced its stage, the scandals that unfolded backstage, or the legends of the audience members who never missed a show. But the Orpheum Theater, its story goes a step further, because some of the Orpheum's most loyal visitors aren't sitting in the audience or standing in the wings. They're haunting the place long after the final curtain call. There's something about theaters and ghosts that just seems to go hand in hand. Maybe it's the energy, decades of applause, laughter, tears, and tension seeping into the walls, giving the place a life of its own. Or maybe it's the atmosphere itself. Theaters are dark, cavernous places full of creaking seats, flickering lights, and shadows that never quite sit still. In that kind of setting, your imagination doesn't have to work very hard to conjure up a ghost or two. But then there's Maddie. Who or what is she? If you believe the EVP recordings and eyewitness accounts, she's a little girl who still calls the Orpheum home. The trouble is, no one can find her name in the history books. No tragic newspaper headline, no faded playbill, no obituary tying her to the theater. Maybe she's real. Maybe she's a spirit who wandered in from somewhere else. Or maybe, just maybe, she's a ghost, born entirely from belief itself. The more people told her story, the more real she became. And that's the fascinating thing about places like the Orpheum. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, stories like Maddie's take on a life of their own. They get passed down from employee to employee, whispered to tourists on haunted history tours, shared online by amateur ghost hunters hoping to catch her laugh on tape. In time, the story becomes inseparable from the place itself. So, is the Orpheum haunted? If you ask me, it's certainly haunted by history, and maybe, just maybe, by something more. Either way, the next time you're sitting in a historic theater waiting for the show to start, take a glance up at the balcony. If you see a little girl staring back at you, don't worry, she's probably just waiting for her cue. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and so you can join us again for another Paranormal Deep Dive.
Want to dig deeper in the Paranormal Deep Dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new Paranormal Deep Dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.